Call this meeting of the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners to order. It's Wednesday, July 18th. It's 9:30 a.m. and we are in the Commissioners' Meeting Room in the courthouse. First item on the agenda is to establish a quorum. We have all three commissioners present representing a quorum. Next item is kind of a fun one. Normally we do this the first commissioners' meeting of each month, but I think many of us probably celebrated July 4th as a holiday. And then last week on the 11th, we were at a joint work session in Lincoln City, followed by a Board of Commissioners meeting. So this is really the first opportunity this month to recognize our employees on their anniversary of working for the county. We are fortunate today. We have 11 employees who represent 105 years of service to our citizens and to the county. And I will recognize each of these individuals, ask them to come forward. We have a certificate and a lapel pin, and hopefully with 11 different opportunities to mess it up, I will not do so. In any event, ask afterward that you remain here and we'll get a picture. So to start off with the five-year anniversaries, we have Rebecca Austin. I see Rebecca in the audience. Come on down, Rebecca. And I'll tell you what, I'll read them off and then I'll present everything. Steve Britt from Parole and Probation. Whoa. Thank you, Steve. Danielle Martinez, Health and Human Services. Wendy Moidell, Assessor's Office.
Yep.
Wendy, thank you. Heather Murray from Health and Human Services. Hey, Heather. Gina Nielsen, Gina from the Assessor's Office. David Wood from IT. All right. Now, all of these individuals have 5 years. Moving on, Teresa Canfield from the District Attorney's Office, 10 years. Kenneth Cram from Transit, 10 years. Clinton Blazer, Public Works, 20 years. I think I saw Clinton out there. There he is. And Lisa Liddell from the Juvenile Department for 30 years of service to our citizens. So, all right, now the hard part for me. Let's see.
This is a test of
they started the
wasn't the dog whistling?
Was the dog whistle? I heard it.
What world? Normal rain here.
Fine. It's getting worse.
All right.
Yeah.
That's Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Gina.
Take a diploma.
Thank you, Gina.
I feel like I'm graduating.
Yeah.
I know. I need a cap so I can put on the tassel.
There you go. We'll get that for you.
Yeah.
Are you sitting on it? Is that a question?
Thank you.
I'm Lisa.
All right. Again, thank you to all these people very much.
Doing good. All right. Gina, down a little bit more. Everybody squeeze in. Okay.
All right, guys. We need to make the room longer.
All right. I'm almost there. All right, all. Let's do it. Big smiles. 3, 2, 1. And thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, I know it's difficult for staff to attend the meetings, but we do appreciate the opportunity to recognize these employees for their commitment and service to our county, and we look forward to many more years. All right, next item on the agenda is adoption of the consent calendar. We will not be proclaiming the Parole and Probation Community Supervision Week. We will do that next week. So we're down to the consent calendar. I'll entertain a motion or allow.
I'll second.
Commissioners to highlight. There being none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
That motion carries. Next item on the agenda are decision and action items. We have three. The first one is initiating amendments to Chapter 1 of the Lincoln County Code zoning to allow brew pubs in commercial zones. And this looks like Director Husing and not
Quay.
I was trying to do their last name, Domsky.
I know it's easy to confuse us, right?
Very easy.
I'm only kidding.
It's early in the day, Steve.
Anno Husing, Director of the Lincoln County Planning Department. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, what you have before you is a process I think by now you're familiar with that you're merely initiating a code amendment, which means if you act favorably on what's before you, it'll be sent to the Planning Commission for the first evidentiary hearing. It'll be their job to review the issues and deliberate and provide a recommendation for you about how to go forward and potentially amend the ordinance as they see fit. So it'll come back to you for action. But let me describe what triggered this. And now this would be a legislative plan amendment. It's not. This would apply to all commercial zones, of which there aren't that many in Lincoln County, because most commercial activity happens within the cities. But what triggered this, and very often is a particular circumstance will sort of help us understand, oops, there may be a flaw in our code. And what happened was in the commercial center in Salishan, some folks are hoping to establish a microbrew pub, which has a tremendous amount of support within that community and could be the start of re-energizing that commercial complex there. So on a lot of levels, there's a lot of support for this. But as we began to process their request, because it's the first time this has come up, we found buried in our code this provision that said, in commercial zones, prohibiting distillation, fermentation, and the rendering of animals.
Interesting combination.
And it was one of those things that until we actually started processing a particular request, we went, ouch, they can't do this here. Now, we all know that, and I don't want to sort of do the whole hearing in front of you, but as a practical matter, we, after some internal deliberation, we decided to put the matter in play for a code amendment, because obviously, these microbrews have done very, very well. They're well established within many cities. So what we want to do is remove that portion from our code and, in effect, update it.
Commissioner Thompson.
So isn't this a no-brainer? I mean, unless there's something in the animal part of this that we didn't see, if you go to a brew pub, I guess that's...
Well, can I suggest that maybe the devil's in the details in this? Yeah. And first, let me note, just for the record, because I've been the one that did this stuff and made the mistake, we're using interchangeably the terms brew pub and microbrewery, and we'll have to develop that and, you know, the actual language that does it. But the idea here is that, you know, this would not allow a commercial-sized operation. Let me use an example. A rogue necessarily inside the zone. This is talking about what we're actually contemplating here. Well, we may look at that, but we're contemplating here the smaller, it's a combination of restaurant or pub and the production of beer. So there will be some limitations on size, on what you can do, so it's more consistent with what's in the zones. And we're looking at other communities to see how they've addressed this particular issue. So there's a lot of devil in the details as to how you do this. So that's part of the process is the planning department's looking at other communities to see how they've addressed this particular issue. We want to be consistent with what's existing out there in the world.
Okay, then. But this is a says commercial zone, and
yes.
That's what it's designed for, is to be business. Why wouldn't you allow even a bigger industrial inside of it?
Because you don't allow other industries inside commercial zones.
Because we have industrial zones for truly industrial
activity. So it may be a scale issue. It may be that you allow certain things that are associated in certain sizes that you do that. And part of what we're doing is we're doing our due diligence and research to see how other communities are dealing with this.
Well, we're just sending it out to the planning.
All you're doing is saying,
correct.
It
may indeed be a no-brainer, but it's in our code, and we can't ignore our code. It's there. It needs to be addressed, and that's what we're doing.
The planning department do their job. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And the planning commission, as you often say.
I've had conversations with Director Husing, and I think we kind of were looking back in history and saying, well, probably when this code was developed, the only industry that brewed beer was an Anheuser-Busch, and certainly probably wouldn't want an Anheuser-Busch in this in a commercial zone. So this is an opportunity, as I think has already been set.
Well,
start the process to look at
right.
Trying to accommodate brew pubs, microbreweries that make sense now.
But we won't be addressing the animal rendering. We're going to keep
that
going.
So this is just
going
to do the microbrewery.
And it's just an aside. Pubs. It was pointed out in our office, too, that fermentation also, if you take it to its logical extreme, you couldn't even prepare pickles or kombucha make some kimchi. You can't even do that because fermentation is not just beer.
All right. So
thank
again,
you.
All
I
this
think
doing
I think
is
I'm
initiating the process. Do we need
step down?
Motion.
I would move we adopt Resolution 18-18-7A, initiating amendments to Chapter 1 of the Lincoln County Code Zoning to allow brew pubs in commercial zones.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries, and we'll look forward to hearing the results.
Thank you.
Next item is an order to vacate Southeast Hemlock Court. Director Kenyon.
Good morning. I'm Roy Kenyon, Lincoln County Public Works Director. And last Wednesday up in Lincoln City, I made a presentation regarding a petition to vacate Hemlock Court, which is a dead-end piece of public right-of-way in the Suga Acres development off of Drift Creek Road and off of 101. And we're here now today to get your final decision on that. And also, I want to point out that in the agenda under documents and recordings, is that correct? Is that where it was at?
Yeah, execution.
No,
it's number two.
It's there. It's there.
Okay.
It's there.
Anyway, the
quick claim deed.
Yes, the purchase of that spite strip. That process is basically idling right now, waiting for that to actually happen once your decision is made on the vacation.
Mr. Chair?
Well, I heard Commissioner Tom.
No, I just said no problem.
Oh, no problem. I thought, okay. Commissioner Hall?
Yeah, no problem here as well.
Okay. I guess the observation I'll make, I made again, that this will take a piece of property that's not currently subject to property taxes and generate a little more income for the county. So.
And that's true. And then also in the process, we're getting rid of this island, this 1 foot by 50 foot strip.
All right. Motion?
Motion. I make a motion to allow the petition for the vacate Southeast Hemlock Court.
Second.
Any other discussion? Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
That motion carries. All right. Next item is a contract to award road and driveway for the overlay of 2.18 miles of rural road with asphalt concrete, which I note is to me an oxymoron, asphalt concrete, but go ahead.
Yes. There again, last week I brought forward the request for you to approve the awarding of this bid to Road and Driveway for the paving of Fall Creek Road off of Highway 34. It's a sediment reduction project with the location of Fall Creek next to the county road, and with the research, the Hatchery Research Center being located also on the on this system, it's one of those where it's extremely important to have pristine, clear water on this system. And what the paving of this road will do is it'll reduce that sediment that's created by mostly heavy log truck traffic on this rock road during the winter months.
Commissioner Thompson.
So I was involved when they built this site. Bob Jensen, who's passed away now, this is one of his big issues one year. And, recently had a meeting down there at that site, and I did not realize the scale and the magnitude of people from around the world that are visiting that site. And we're going to have not only that, there's just the presence of going to a world-famous facility. It seems appropriate to have a paved road to it would be the right thing to do.
Oh, it is. And one of our maintenance crew's biggest problems has been to try to maintain a road that's a heavy haul road that also is suitable for light car traffic, especially during the winter. And this will allow a hard surface that we're hoping that will give us a lot of life and will make it so that we don't have to be down there every week trying to keep this road in shape for, you know, the small passenger cars.
In the bulk of this cost also being funds being provided by the Forest Service?
Actually, the way the bid came in, the entire amount of asphalt cost is going to be picked up by the Forest Service. They actually threw in $250,000 to pay for the asphalt. The County Road Department actually, our share of the deal was to do all the prep work prior to the paving, and we've done our share. It's ready to get paved. We had a pre-construction meeting yesterday with the contractor. They're scheduled to start August 7th. It's going to be about, if everything goes right, it'll be about 4 days. There's going to be closures during the paving process because we're paving 14 feet, and that's, in a lot of places, that is the entire width of the road. We've made contact with the hatchery. They're well aware of it. They're taking precautions to make sure that all of their people can get in and out every day. We've been in contact with Weyerhaeuser. They're aware of the process. They're actually having a little of their own paving work done on up the drainage on a bridge crossing Fall Creek. And so we've been in contact with the Forest Service. So I think everybody, all the players are aware of what's going on, and we're about ready to get this thing started with your approval.
Sounds good to me.
I'm ready to make
a motion.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to award the contract to Road and Driveway for the overlay of the 2.18 miles of rural road with asphalt concrete.
Second. I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 That motion carries.
One little footnote, and I don't know if it'll come through your office, but the first roughly half a mile of Fall Creek Road is not going to be part of this project because that drainage does not go into Fall Creek, and this is specifically for sediment control. And so we chose not to do that first half a mile for various reasons. It's actually, the first half a mile is the easiest stretch to maintain anyway. It seems to have the best base. But the money that the Forest Service gave us was strictly for sediment control.
And again, to emphasize, that's not an issue with that first section.
It is not.
Okay. Very good. Any other questions, comments? All right. Thank you, Mr. Kenyon.
Did we vote?
Did we vote?
And so we had the motion and second.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 That motion carries. Mm-hmm. Is it a Monday? No, it's Wednesday. All right. Moving along. Next item on the agenda would be commissioner reports. Commissioners. How about it?
Okay. Well, since we didn't meet last week, I just want to mention one thing. The previous Friday, I attended my first meeting as a member of the Oregon Housing Stability Council. I was appointed to that by Governor Brown, the appointment confirmed by the Oregon State Senate. This is the main public body in the state, citizen body that helps shape housing policy, advises the governor, advisors the Department of Housing and Community Services and the legislature. There's 9 members serving statewide. I am the only elected official on there. I am the only coastal person on there, so I feel like it's really going to be a good opportunity for me to advocate. The way I look at going on to a board like this, first off, I'm representing the people of Lincoln County, then trying to be a voice for the entire coast, then for all of rural Oregon. But the governor is going to have, if she is reelected, and of course that's an if, we won't know the answer to until November, another very aggressive ask related to legislation in the for housing in the 2019 legislative session. At the end of the year, we're going to get a draft statewide housing plan, the first one that's been done in many years, and we'll spend the early part of 2019, you know, reviewing that, refining it, and adopting it. So it's going to be an interesting time, I think.
Yeah. Thanks. I would like to mention,
sure. Go ahead.
Economic Summit's coming up in August. I forget the dates exactly, but I've got a
22nd and 23rd,
and it was the end of August. This is one of the meetings that has a lot of different subjects on it, and previous to that we're going to have the biosolids meeting, but the Economic Summit, one of the issues is going to be education. So we've got a new group of people that probably should be attending rather than just the economic people that are there, and it's been a good meeting. This year it's easy to get at for Lincoln County residents since it's at Chinook Winds, so I'm going to put that, give people a chance to be a part of it. Anyone look at the agenda, it has a lot of things for a lot of different groups.
And if people want to look it up, it's sponsored through the Coastal Caucus, the Coastal Legislators, and Arnie Roblin's Chief of Staff, Rosie Shatkin, she's kind of the lead. And so I think if people want more information, Terry, do you think the best advice would be to have them contact Senator Roblin's office?
I would. Originally, it was Arnie started this.
Yes.
And then the Coastal Caucus has taken it over.
Yes.
So it'll give you... And you can go online and get
I was going to say, if you Google Coastal Caucus, you'll find it.
Yep. Or Coast Economic Summit.
Commissioners, can I do a quick update? Just it's related to that, too. And actually, just that we now have, to save the date, we now have a specific time for the meeting for the Biosolids Summit. That's August 21st, the Tuesday before the Coastal Economic Summit will be held at the City Council Chambers in Lincoln City. And from 2 to 4 o'clock, we had some scheduling issues in terms of the time, but we're going to do it from 2
to 4. 2 to 4. Because originally we had a later time, didn't we?
There's got some conflicts with Lincoln City's Planning Commission and some other meetings they have. So they've given us a slot of 2 to 4 o'clock.
Tuesday the 21st.
And then just an update on another meeting. Our consultants on the Commons Redevelopment Plan are doing a presentation before the Newport Urban Renewal Agency and a fourth public comment process on July 30th at 5 p.m., and that will be held in the City Council Chambers in Newport.
Okay. Any other reports from commissioners? Okay. Next item on the agenda is constituent input. This is an opportunity for constituents to address the Board of Commissioners on any item of interest up to 5 minutes, and commissioners may or may not respond. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the board?
I think the Davis's timing was just perfect.
How you doing?
Right. Welcome back.
My name is Howard Davis from Blogston. Update a little bit. Newport started hauling, of course, biosolids. You might be aware of that already, Blogston. After Andrew Grant, we talked to him a little, maybe 2 months ago. He stated that he was looking for the Wren area. Wasn't really looking out at Logston, Sletz Valley area. But we knew that was an untruth because we talked to a farmer that he'd contacted. So we knew they was looking at that area. And it's a Class A biosolid, which will turn liquid when the winter rains come, of course. We don't understand why they don't take it to the football fields, the baseball fields, soccer fields, things like that, if it's so safe. But he misled people in a way, because this is from the Food and Drug Administration. And it states here that you guys can have copies of this. It enters the environment through passing through water waste treatment plants. All these different chemicals, you know, they're all pharmaceuticals.
Christine, we'll add it to the...
Okay. And this is also for the USGS. This is a new study, 2017. It just came out to help you guys also. Okay. It's commonly used chemicals transported to agricultural fields through municipal and biosolids applications. It shows it does leach into the rivers. So what they're doing is leaching into our waters. And that's another thing you guys can have a copy of. And this one's done in Oregon. It's an Oregon study, also by the USGS, and is in Tualatin River. And they found some really disturbing things that cannot be taken out of wastewater because they cannot incomplete removable treatments. So they can't take it out. It's carbamazepine and sulfane thiolate. I hope I didn't butcher that up. But the carbamazepine causes breathing problems, vision problems, skin problems. The other one has neurological defects, depression, and hallucinations. This cannot be taken out of our water. So what is going into the Stutz River, even go through their treatment, Class A, Class B, it doesn't matter. And we all started this because it was concerned about, you know, Logsdon Church and the kids there in our well, because that's the only reason there was concerned about that. But it escalated into the river, and a lot worse. And as we're, it was kind of like Pandora's box. As we got into it, it got deeper. And we've been working with all you guys, and we appreciate it. Wayne Belmont, you did an excellent job. We've seen the film on Newport. We greatly appreciate what you've done for us. And here's one more last thing. Here's 25 chemicals they found in 9 biosolid studies. All 9 studies had these chemicals in them. So that's all I have here, just this stuff right here to help you guys, to, you know, give you some support on this, because what they're doing out there, Newport's doing, they were involved. They hadn't shipped anything out. Now they're involved in this, and also now they're contributing to pollutants in the Sluts River. And it's the ironic thing of this is they're poisoning their own water they drink. To me, none of this makes sense. And, you know, I think we need to start a fund. Like, we're really throwing the first $100 for chemicals to check for them. I think it's like $200 to $300. If somehow the county could set something like that, we could put a fund up. Because we need to protect our children and future generations. And this is why we're here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the additional information.
And you can have copies of these if you want to take all these.
Yeah. We'll make copies and give it back to you. And thank you for your service to our country, too. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Anyone else?
Sorry for my tardiness. And so I've had a lot of updates, but I haven't had a chance to get into.
And I'm sorry, did you identify yourself for the
Davis,
record?
Before you start talking, yes, haying isn't one of the oldest sayings, you have to make hay when the sun's shining.
That's right, when the time is
right. The sun doesn't shine much in Lincoln
County. That's right, it does not. And actually, we had to travel a little further, so we made sure we got out of the biosolids, because we do not want that. So, real quick, wanted to thank you guys. Claire, we're working on the voting, on getting this on the ballot, right? Wayne, you did an excellent job, and I was really, you guys give us 5 minutes, not 3. And Barbara Davis was cut off really quick on the question of getting the drugs out. How do you do it? Well, you can't. Also, I wanted to thank Maria Krause, too. She had presented there, too. The meeting August 21st, jumping quick, because what's that? That's a forum? Is that going to be what I'm hearing? A forum?
Yes.
Maybe we can meet and talk a little bit of how that's going to look, you know, not a DEQ presentation.
Well, no, and I want to make sure that a component of this that we want to make sure is there is the public comment period, and a significant portion of this will be the public comment period. We want, you've been talking to us about these things, we want other people to hear it, too.
Yeah, that's we'd like other people to hear, too. But when you say the public comment time, that makes me think of a meeting like this, so then the public gets 5 minutes to talk. DEQ, they get to talk for as long as they want.
Well, actually, let me tell you right now, in the draft agenda we're looking at, I actually was going to put a slot for a specific presentation for Save Our Sluts. You guys, you can designate who you want to speak. And you'll be given a slot the same way that others will be given a slot to speak, in addition to the public comment. So that's what we're sort of proposing. I want to talk to you about that.
Yes, maybe we could meet and
sure.
maybe get some technical assistance on some of that.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Maybe an environmental impact study that, like, that was never done. Okay, and the fund, that was a good one from Alan. I know there was something else. Oh, the 2179 bill that passed the farm ballot. 2017 went through. I think that's what's opened up this wide open for the biosolids. Maybe Class A. I haven't read it all.
There was a bill before that that did it.
But there was something with this one that added something
extra.
Yeah, you
extra. Sent me that link. It was a bill passed in 2017, the way I read it. I'm not a lawyer. None of us are, except up here, Mr. Belmont. But the way I read it, it just even opened up even further the placement of the biosolids on ag fields. And it passed pretty strongly. Yeah, the original one that made it part of the Right to Farm Act. But...
Right.
This other one sailed through.
And if you really look at it, and I started opening documents, and anything that went through, Oregon Department of Agriculture, DEQ, I can't remember if ODFW is in there. I said agriculture, mm-hmm. forestry. Anyway, there's just a carbon letter. Every department used the same letter, and somehow it was sent through on an emergency pass. Any document I printed out, anybody that testified was testified for it. Not one piece of evidence against it that I could find. And anybody that commented didn't. So, I don't know. Maybe they're not even aware of the other side of this. They either were uninformed or, you know, they
could just,
I just don't see.
Could I say something on that? That I have contacted a couple of large state environmental organizations and just asked the question, is this something you've worked on? Is this something you're even aware of? And frankly, I think as in some of the discussion we've had here over the past several weeks, it's just an issue that the mechanism of the program allowing it at the federal and state levels has been in place for so many years, it's just been kind of under the radar. I think people have been assuming that the life permitting, licensing, and testing has been going as on paper it says it's supposed to be. So, you know, the response I got was, well, thank you for letting us know about this, but, you know, it's really something that hasn't been on our focus area at all.
And it's only as safe as what it's tested for.
Mm-hmm.
So when they say Class A is tested, I mean, it's safe for humans, how do you know? How do they know? So, again, Alan, can we get the funding? Can we test? Because that's the only way to really prove it. Test the sludge coming out of those trucks. Test the river. Let's test them for real things and do it in an independent lab that everybody can trust. Anyway, thank you, guys. We can meet later. I know my 5 minutes has got to be up.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate the update. Any other constituent input? All right, next meeting of the Board of Commissioners will be on Wednesday, July 25th, 2018, right here in the Commissioner's Courthouse Room 108 at 9:30 a.m.
Before you bring down the gavel, could I just mention I am taking a personal day next Wednesday, going with some friends to Seattle to see the Mariners play that afternoon, so I will be missing that meeting.
All right.
I'm sure you and Commissioner Thompson will carry on in my stead.
I think we'll have a quorum and we'll be able to conduct business. So
thank you.
Enjoy your ball game. With that, we're adjourned.